Our subject this morning, From Here to Eternity. You know, all of us, every one of us here this morning, we've got an appointed time to meet our Lord and Savior. God tells us in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die." If it just stopped there, it would be all right. But it said, "But after this, the judgment." We will all stand before God and give an account unto Him what we've done with what He's given us. I told my wife, I said, "If I die before you do, two songs I want played at my funeral. One of them is After You're Gone. And the second one is What Have I Done with What You've Given Me?" And every one of us will give an account to God for the ability that He has given us and what we have done with it. Everybody goes from here to eternity. Now, I grant you that I have a life insurance policy, and I've had one for many, many years. And I'm not in the best of health, but I don't believe I'll physically die. I believe I'll be raptured. I believe the second coming of the Lord is that close. And wouldn't that be a wonderful event for you to be doing something and you hear Ed Vorce says, "Come up hither," and you just rise. I think it's wonderful to live like you're never going to die. Because in some sense of the word, we really never die. We just change where we spend eternity. Because if I'm saved and the Lord comes back today, instantaneously, I will be in heaven. If the Lord comes back today, what a day that would be. But if I was lost and I died today, immediately I would be conscious in hell. What a terrible thought. But there's only two places from here to eternity. And if you die saved, you'll spend eternity in glory. If you die lost, you'll spend eternity in hell. Now, yes, the body will go to your favorite undertaker, and they'll try to make you look good for everybody. And people will come and drive for miles to see you, but never cared enough while he was alive to tell you about Jesus. This is not a negative message. This is a positive. I'm positively positive that Christ may come back today or tomorrow or the next week. But he's coming back. The question is, are you ready? God said in the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse 12, he said, wherefore, as by one man sin enter into the world, and death by sin, and so death pass upon all men, for all have sinned. I'm a sinner because I'm from the seed of Adam, and Adam sinned. You were born a sinner. God says in the book of Psalms that you came from your mother's womb speaking lies. All of you have experienced that if you've been around babies. My first one, I worked second shift when my first baby was born, and I'd get home about 2 o'clock in the morning, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, he started crying. And I'd go to the room and turn on the light, and he's just laughing. Little sinner. But see, it's a baby. But he's doing what comes naturally. When you sin, you're doing what comes naturally. To live for God, you're doing what's supernatural. It's not natural for me to put money in that plate. I've got things I'd like to buy. Do a little upgrade here, and a little upgrade here, and a little upgrade there. But because I'm a child of the King, and I know what God teaches me, that everything I have, the first 10% goes to Him. And after all these years, I am living proof that He can do more on 9% than I can on the full 10%. See, the flesh is against everything that God does. In the book of 2 Samuel. Put my marker in the wrong place. 2 Samuel chapter 14. 2 Samuel 14 and verse 14. For we must needs die and are as water spilt on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Neither does God respect any person, yet doth he devise means that his banished be not expelled from him. So what does God do? Well, if I die before the rapture, I'll have a funeral. I don't believe in cremation. I'll have a funeral, and people will come to my funeral and they'll say some nice things because maybe my wife is still there. But I won't be there. My body will be there, but I won't be there. Because the moment that I died physically, I went to glory. That excites me. If I raise my voice, pardon me, but it excites me. It excites me that I'm not in a coffin and where they're going to close it and put me in the ground, but praise God, I'm in heaven. He said, you've lost your mind. I'm happy there. Besides that, I can prove it from the Word of God. Everything that I've said, I can prove it from the Word of God. See, everybody goes from here to eternity. Second, there are only two places to go from here to eternity. It's not like taking a vacation. You don't get to choose where you're going at the time, but it's a pre-arranged choice. You know what I'm saying now? I had my prearrangement made 50 years ago. At Tuesday morning when I was on my way to work and God touched me. I've never been the same. That moment that he saved me, he granted me repentance, he granted me faith, and he saved my unworthy soul. From that moment on, I had a place reserved for me in glory. God said, I've gone to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye shall be also. Now, if you don't agree with what I'm going to say next, just give me some leeway. But God said in the book of John, there are many mansions already up there. But he said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. I would be happy in a mansion. But I don't know what that place is. I don't know what everything about it. But I know he is making a special place for me and for everyone that is saved and part of his church. God said in Matthew, the 25th chapter, Matthew 25, and verse 46, he said, and these shall go away unto everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. There's two places, heaven and hell. But both of them are eternal. Now, there was somebody on Facebook. I love the man, respect the man, but he was wrong. He said there's nothing good at all in hell. I'm paraphrasing. There was a missionary in hell. The rich man died and went to hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torment. But he said, Father Abraham, I have some family back up here on earth. Will you send somebody to tell them about the Lord? And we know, according to Luke 16, what God said. You know, and he said, well, if somebody from the grave would go tell them, they would hear. And Abraham said, but we had somebody from the grave went. His name was Jesus. He was crucified, and he was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and his soul ascended to hell. And don't get all excited. That's the grave. There's Hades. It's the difference between Gehenna. Study the word of God, but they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. It makes no difference whether the best preacher in the world tells them about Jesus, unless the Spirit of God bears witness with that Spirit, they have no ability to be made alive. To God be the glory. But God's Word, as we read here in the book of Matthew 25, verse 46, there's a righteous place of righteousness, and there's a place of punishment. Now, since it's appointed unto man once to die, and if you wonder what I'm saying about this point, on your way out on the table out in the foyer, there's some business cards, and on the back of those business cards, which I pass out, is those people that tell me, I'm going to get saved someday. And to those people I say, here's my card. Couple days before you know you're going to die, call me and I'll come and preach the gospel to you. But there's a problem to that. I don't know when I'm going to die. We've all been in those places where the doctors came in and said, there's no hope. There's hope in Jesus. He touched me. Oh, Lord, he touched me. The word of God makes it plain that the wicked goes to hell. I don't like to think about any of my family, any of my friends, people that I've grown to love in the Lord. You know. But look what God said in the book of Psalms, chapter 9, the 9th Psalm, and verse 17. Are you there? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Do you have a burden for the United States? The United States is no longer a God-fearing nation. When you can take a child that's already born and you can kill it, and feel good about it. God's not there. God said, not Brother Vance, God said in the 17th verse of Psalms, you know, he makes it very clear here. Psalms 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I'm going to do 5 seconds worth of politics. It's your Congress that runs this country. Congress. So when you vote for a congressman, let him be more than a good old boy. Make sure that he believes in the word of God. I don't care what he calls himself. He believes in the word of God. He believes that abortion is wrong. Alcoholism is wrong. All these sins are wrong. And unless we repent of it, we're going to hell. The unbelievers die in their sins and cannot go where Jesus is. Brother Ward used to tell me, Brother Vance, don't get so upset. Everybody's saved when they go to the funeral home. Have you ever heard a preacher preach somebody into hell? I never have. I don't care whether he's the biggest sinner everybody in the world knew. When he gets to the funeral home, he's going to glory. You know why that's wrong? There's lost people at the funeral. And the word of God needs to be preached. I hope you feel the same way that I do. I had the best mother in the world. And I preached her funeral. But I also preached the gospel. How do you know? I was there. I was doing the preaching. I remember it. People aren't saved at funerals. Yes, they are. They're saved at the graveside services if the gospel's preached. And you know what it said about it? Everybody that dies lost will be in hell for eternity. For eternity. But you know the good news? Everybody that goes to heaven is going to be in heaven for eternity. I don't know how long that is, but that's a long time. And God's going to be right there with us. Isn't that wonderful? The word of God makes it plain that the saved go to heaven. I quoted just a little bit of it. Let's read just a little bit of it. John, the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter. You know what God said here? In verse 2 and 3, you know, well, let's just start with 1. John 14, 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. It gets better. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See, I'm like the little five-year-old when the Sunday school teacher said, where's heaven? And she said, teacher, I'm not sure, but that's where God is at, and wherever is at, if God's there, it'd be good enough for me. But he said, I go to a prior place for you. You want to be where God's at? See, the believers die in the Lord. Revelation, the 14th chapter. Notice what God said here. Revelation, the 14th chapter. God said here in Revelation 14 and verse 13, God said, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. That henceforth, after they die, they die in the Lord. Yea, said the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. On a second notice, how many works are going to follow you? You know, every work that I do, nobody may not say, thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that, Pastor. And some of you do, and I thank God for you. But every good work is going to follow me in glory. Because that's who we serve anyway, isn't it? I mean, we serve God because we love him. And we love him because he first loved us. That's good praise. So we see that the believer dies in the Lord. We see in Revelation, the 14th chapter and the 13th verse, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, right, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. You're blessed when you die in the Lord. That means when you die saved. You know, and why this so fresh on my mind, I had the privilege to talk to a 92-year-old man, cancer, and they told him there's nothing we can do. And he said, I'll just go to hell like the rest of the family and I'll be happy. It broke my heart. I said, let me have a few minutes of your time. You don't have to go to hell like your family if your family went to hell. That's a personal choice. Do you know that Jesus died for sinners just like you? I can't tell you that he died for you, but he died for sinners just like you that don't deserve heaven, that's never did a lot of the things right. But the thief on the cross, God saved him. He'll save you. Amen. He'll save you. That he will be in a heaven for all eternity. You know, I said, you can accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be with him for eternity. Thirdly, what we do with Jesus Christ determines where we go from here to eternity. See, but we have got to make that decision. So what we do with Jesus Christ determines where we will go from here to eternity. 1 John. Wrote these notes in the waiting room, which can't hardly read my own writing. That's bad. God said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he said, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." See, a lost man is dead while he's living. But see, whatever God does in my life is for my good and his glory. Because I belong to him. He bought me. He paid for me. The word of God makes it plain that those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ have everlasting life. We all read John 3:16, and what a wonderful verse that is. But you know, my favorite verse in John when it talks about being saved is John 5:24. And I quote it quite often, you know, sometimes just to feel good, because I love to hear what it says. But God said in John 5:24, "Verily, verily, it's of a truth, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me," now notice what he said, "hath," H-A-T-H, "hath," that means right now, "everlasting life, and shall not come unto condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And the old man looked at me and he said, "I'm not saying you're one of them," but he said, "I know so many Baptists believe in eternal security, blood-bought believer, and they just live like hell." I said, "I know that. But if you're truly a child of God, God will take the hell right out of you. And as a way of life, you want to praise him." See, I don't know who's saved, you know. We used to have a member of this church. He said, "I'm just looking at somebody to know whether they're saved or not. I've been saved a long time, and I still don't have that gift. And nobody else does except God." But I tell you one thing. I know a banana from an apple. I know a grape from a grapefruit. And I know what the fruits of God is. And if you're saved, I'm going to see some fruit in you. God said, "By their fruit we shall know them." Amen. Yeah, then over in John chapter 6 and verse 47, notice what God said. He said, "Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away?" Why did he say that? Well, let's back up a few verses. And we see in verse 65, "And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of the Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. This was Jesus that said that. Jesus said, you can't follow me unless God gave you to me. And some of his closest followers, from that day, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. You know why? Because the average person wants to think, I can get saved today and lost tomorrow and saved next Wednesday and lost next Thursday. When God saves you, he saves you for eternity. And if you want to continue to live like a hog, it's because you're still a hog. But God brings the hog out of the hog pen. You see, what we got to understand, and a good preacher friend of mine made a mistake. I didn't call him on it because I'm just a nice guy that way. But he was preaching, and he said, you know, there are saved sheep, and there are lost goats that will be saved someday. A goat is a goat, and it'll always be a goat. A sheep is a sheep. There's two kinds of sheep, lost sheep and saved sheep. But sooner or later, that lost sheep will be a saved sheep because God will lose none of them. If God don't know who his son died for, do you want to spend eternity with somebody like that? God knows every hair on my head that fell out. Only thing I know is I went to bed one day with hair and woke up the next morning as bald. That's all I know. But he knew every hair that fell out of my head. You think he don't know who's his? Sometimes people just surprise me. You know, I wonder how do they get to their house? How do they brush their teeth? Word of God makes it plain that these who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ do not have everlasting life. Don't care how many churches you join. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. If God hasn't saved you, you're lost. Notice with me as we prepare to close here. John chapter 3. And verse 36b, that's the last part of John 3:36. But we'll read all of it, but we're just interested in the last part. It said, he that believeth on the Son have everlasting life. We all like that. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him. If you're in this building this afternoon lost, you're one heartbeat from hell. One heartbeat. Because God said the key to being saved is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I was saved that Tuesday morning. I did not know what election was. I did not know what predestination was. I did not know what the church was. I didn't know what justification, glorification, sanctification. I named all the good old doctrines. I did not know any of those. But I knew that I was lost and that Jesus Christ died for me. And I said, Father, I accept you. And immediately there was a change in my life. And every time I've backslidden, it breaks my heart. That's how I know you. That's how you know you're saved. See, when you really love somebody and you hurt them, it bothers you. Been married 52 years. Every time I hurt that woman's feelings, it bothers me. God said in John 5:40. Only one more verse. He said, "And ye shall not come to me that ye might have life." Now notice, ye will not come to me. Not you can't, but you won't. You won't. You know why you won't? You love self more than you love God. And besides that, you're not going to die today. You're not? I don't agree with the Muslim belief, but it broke my heart when they ran into those two mosques and killed those people. It's like they were chickens. If you're here in this building lost, you leave this building lost because you will not come to Christ. It's not that you don't think you can live for him. It's not that you know, what will people say? I can help you on that. I mean, you know, me telling a 90-some-year-old man, he said, you know, what will people think? I said, sir, let me help you with that. Thinking is hard. Most people don't do it. And even if you're the hot topic of the town, just keep cool. Somebody else will be the hot topic next week. Because that's what the world does. They just want to pick up somebody and put them down. When I'm putting somebody down, I think I'm building myself up. But the only way I build myself up is when I lift Jesus Christ. And lastly, still in the book of John, chapter 8 and verse 24. God said this. 8:24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. See, it's all about belief. Believe me, I had a whole bucket full of sins when God saved me. But if I had stopped ever sinning, God would not have still saved me unless I believed in him. See, what he does, he saves you, then he sanctifies you. I'll stop with this. There's two sanctifications. That Tuesday morning, my soul was sanctified. That meant I could never be lost again. But the sanctification of the flesh begins the day that God saved me. And I begin to look at my life and things need to be wiped away and put down. See, that's sanctification, you know. That organ there is sanctified. That piano is sanctified. You know what I'm saying? That piano should be used for worship service. If you're taking piano lessons and you want to play rock and roll, don't come into church and play rock and roll. That's sanctified. That's sanctified. You don't come in this auditorium eating. It's sanctified. Sanctification set apart for the service of God. That Tuesday morning, God saved me and set me aside for his service. No, he doesn't take away all the pleasure from you. He doesn't take away all, you know, it's just, you know, my church, some of the people are gone, some people have died, you know. This is a pizza-eating church, you know. Every time that we had something, everybody had our pizza. Well, I couldn't stand pizza. I said, who would want to eat pizza? Look at it. It's good. But after about 40 years of eating pizza, I found myself a Pizza Hut ordering pizza. It's called sanctification of the appetite. Now, you know, Ray said it. But see, you do things and you become accustomed to it. Just let Jesus have control today and let him have control tomorrow. And in 21 days, he's controlling.